Welcome to the podcast of First Presbyterian Church of Marietta, where we are committed to changing lives with faith, hope, and love. We're so glad you are here.
Now a second scripture lesson from the Old Testament book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 to 15. Again, I invite you to listen for the word of the Lord. Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led his flock beyond the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of a bush. He looked, and the bush was blazing, yet it was not consumed. Then Moses said, "I must turn aside and look at this great sight and see why the bush is not burned up." When the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, "Moses, Moses." And he said, "Here I am." Then he said, "Come no closer, remove the sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground." He said further, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, "I have observed the misery of my people who are in Egypt. I have heard their cry on account of their taskmasters. Indeed, I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them from the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the country of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. The cry of the Israelites has now come to me. I have also seen how the Egyptians oppress them. So come, I will send you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" He said, "I will be with you, and this shall be the sign for you that it is I who sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall worship God on this mountain." But Moses said to God, "If I come to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your ancestors has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What is his name?' what shall I say to them?" God said to Moses, "I am who I am." He said further, "Thus you shall say to the Israelites, 'I am has sent me to you.'" God also said to Moses, "Thus you shall say to the Israelites, 'The Lord, the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this my title for all generations.'" The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Lately, I've been wanting to take a trip to the beach so I can dig a hole in the sand and stick my head in it. Not for long, just a couple of hours, maybe an afternoon. Just an afternoon with my head in the sand because I am ready for a break from all of it. Now, on top of a viral pandemic, there's a hurricane. On top of having kids home from school, last Monday morning there was a big Zoom outage. Not only were we stuck at home last Tuesday, but it started to rain, so we were even more confined to the house than usual. Our hospital is still full, and according to the Marietta Daily Journal, in desperation, some COVID-19 sufferers are resorting to drinking bleach. Plus, this past week, another black man was shot by police officers. Only our national conversation concerning race doesn't seem to be going anywhere because we can't even agree on enough to form anything more than an argument. So I'm ready just to go stick my head in the sand at the beach. I'd like to escape everything for just a minute. Concerning headlines of the past week, certainly I'm thankful that our own Kelly Gambrell County Commissioner came up with a plan to distribute $4.8 million in grants to struggling homeowners in our area. But before I get too hopeful about such a loving response and such concerned leadership in a time of a leadership vacuum, first I'd just like to stick my head in the sand. Do you know what I mean? Moses did. Moses knew exactly what I'm feeling, which might be how you are feeling right now. He found himself in a complex situation, and he didn't know how to deal with it, so he just ran off to watch a flock of sheep for a while. The Bible says Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock beyond the wilderness. What this means is that he made it to the beach, but not just the beach. He had to go beyond the beach. It means he didn't just go on vacation, but built for himself a great big hole in the sand and that he could live down in forever. It's not a bad idea. He left. And that worked just fine for Moses until one of his sheep ran off or something, and he stumbled upon a bush that burned a bright flame without being consumed. Can you imagine it? Curiosity. Curiosity can be dangerous this way. You see something interesting and you want to know more about it, only it might lead you out from your hole in the sand and to a place where you have to face some harsh truths, maybe even to a place where you could get hurt. So you have to be careful about curiosity. Once my mother and father-in-law bought a puppy, they brought this new puppy home, and the puppy was curious, poking her nose around rocks and in holes in the ground. Before long, a snake bit her right on the nose. Along those same lines, I remember a drive through Whitlock Heights one afternoon years ago. Several cars were stopped, and a group of people were standing around looking at something in the middle of the street. Naturally, I got out of my car to see what all the commotion was about, and next thing I knew, I had been elected to try and remove an alligator snapping turtle from the middle of the road. It came out of the creek nearby the street where the Callaways and the Tuckers live, and I hope that they lock their doors at night because monsters are coming out of that creek. It's dangerous. But back to the point. Curiosity is a dangerous thing. You go looking around corners, you get out of your car to see what everyone else is so interested in, or just go sniffing around a new place, and anything can happen. The same kind of thing can happen at a church. A curious person sticks her nose in the door of a church, and who knows what might happen next. This is a true story. The Reverend Sarah Hayden, a seminary classmate of mine, once told a story of how her family came to join their first Presbyterian church. A new church building had been under construction near their neighborhood, and when the construction was finished and the opening worship service was scheduled, her father suggested that they all go and check it out. The family walked in and approached a man with a stack of bulletins. He was standing right outside the door of the sanctuary, but instead of handing each member of the family one of those bulletins, this man just handed the stack of bulletins to Sarah's father, saying, "You must be the one who's going to hand out the bulletins." Actually, no, I'm not, her father said. We've never been here before, and we just wanted to check it out. Well, the man said, you are the man who should hand out all the bulletins. Now, that was years ago. Sarah's now a Presbyterian minister, and I think her family is still a member of that very church, and that's how curiosity is. You see something interesting and decide to go see what it's all about, and next thing you know, your life goes in a direction you never could have expected. Maybe you find your way home. That's how it was for Moses. He was as far away from Pharaoh as he could possibly get. Not just in the wilderness, but beyond the wilderness. He wanted not to think about his Israelite family of his birth, nor his adopted family of the Egyptian palace. He couldn't stand the thought of the day when those two worlds collided. He wanted to escape the memory of that day when he lost his temper and killed the Egyptian who was beating a Hebrew slave. He tried to leave all that behind, just as he had left behind the body of that Egyptian taskmaster buried in the sand. There he was, beyond the wilderness, trying to forget, trying to escape, but curiosity brought him right back to the place he didn't want to remember. At the sight of the burning bush, Moses said, I must turn aside and look at this great sight and see why this bush is not burned up. But this curiosity, like all curiosity, has the potential to be led Moses into the presence of God. And once we find ourselves in the presence of God, it's best to be prepared for our lives to move in directions we never could have expected. That's how it was with Moses. That's how it was with me. We just went to church when I was a kid. And it was nice. On the way over here on Sunday mornings, I would read the funny papers in the back of our car. When we got here, I'd sometimes have donuts and would sing songs in Sunday school. In the church service, we'd stand up and I would turn to the right hymns and the old blue hymnals. I'd bow my head and close my eyes when I was supposed to. And I knew that the service was almost over, finally, when Dr. Jim Speed stood in front of us with his arms raised up and the words of our first scripture lesson on his lips as his benediction. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil, hold fast to what is good, he'd say. And he'd say it as though as we were actually supposed to do it. Go poking your nose in a hole and you might get bit by a snake. Walk over to a group of people looking at something in the middle of the road and end up responsible for an alligator snapping turtle. Get out of bed, turn on your computer, and join a church service. And it's possible for you to just go on from that along the course of your day and just as you were when you rolled out of bed in the morning. But if you are open to hearing God's voice, you better be careful or you'll wind up going places and saying things that will dread up the past and rechart your future. That's how it was with Moses. Moses just wanted a closer look, and next thing he knew, the God of his ancestors was telling him, the cry of the Israelites has come to me. I've also seen how the Egyptians oppress them. So come, I will send you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. The Lord heard their cry, and I am confident that the Lord hears the cry of the oppressed today. The families who are depending on free food distribution so they can save their money and stave off eviction for another month. the sick who long for a vaccine, and until there is one, will try just about anything. The school child who wants to go back to class but never will, not unless all the grown-ups get their act together and stop spreading this virus all over the place. The quiet who weep alone because they can't have a funeral. Those who want a world without racism but lack a clear path forward to move towards it. The would-be voter who doesn't know whether or not she'll vote because she doesn't know whether or not her vote will even count. We all want to know when someone is going to do something about all of it. When is it going to get better? And where is the one who's going to get us out of all of this? In a time like this one, it's easy to wonder where the God of creation is, whether or not our God even knows. Where has God been? But I think I know the answer. God has been calling, waiting on you and me to get our head out of the sand to do something about it. We are all living in this terrifying time. But we don't need to hide. Even if it's just to have a conversation we've been putting off, we must be bold to believe that all God will go with us to do the impossible. Last Sunday, I was invited to join with the members of our church who make up our northern campus. The Big Canoe Neighborhood Group have started calling themselves FPC North. They invited me to stop by for a cocktail in the driveway, and there we were talking about how hard it is to simply have a conversation. One member of the group has adopted a great phrase for use in these divisive times. "Well, I couldn't disagree with you more, but we can still be friends." How hard it is to make such a bold and honest statement. How much easier it is to just stick our head in the sand when around someone who disagrees with us. But my friends, the Lord is doing a new thing, and if we are to be a part of it, we must find a way not to run from the uncomfortable conversations, nor keep our true opinions to ourselves. For what might God do through us if we are brave enough to answer the call? What might God do through us if we are bold enough to stand and say what we believe? What might God do through us if we are just curious enough to follow Him as He leads us into a new day? Amen.
This podcast is a ministry of First Presbyterian Church of Marietta. Come join us Sundays at 189 Church Street, Marietta, Georgia, or visit us online at fpcmarietta.org.